We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the sponsor of this episode, Raise Energy. Raise offers a zero-sugar, no-crash guaranteed product with many different flavors. They're not promising magic in a can or a miracle potion, and they're retailing for under $30 per case, while the big-name brands are charging upwards of $35 or even more per case. If you're interested in trying out their product and giving us a little bit of that kickback from your purchase, use the link in the episode description and use our code, capital letters here, WCFBTS, for a 15% off discount at your checkout. Once again, that is WCFBTS for a 15% off at checkout. Thank you, Raise Energy, for sponsoring this episode, the continued support of our show, and I hope you listeners indulge yourself and get yourself a nice, clean energy drink. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode. We came from beneath the sea, as always. I'm your host, Bailey.
And I'm Zach.
And I'm Brandon.
Hello.
Hello.
It's a new month.
Yeah.
It's actually Asian Heritage Month, I believe.
Huh.
Has nothing to do with the movies we're covering. It's first day of Asian Pacific American Heritage Month.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
We hope y'all are doing good.
You remember there was a hashtag like mid-20s, stop Asian hate?
Yeah. That was last year.
That was like, Jesus, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because.
Shit! Time flies.
Stop it.
You know, like racist white people.
Stop hating Asians.
Yeah. Well, like racist white people would go up to like Asian and Chinese like restaurants and be like,
yeah, the reason we have COVID.
Yeah.
You know? Well, also people got assaulted. I remember that.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. People are fucking weird.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Americans are like a different fucking breed of just shitty people.
Dumbass.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say a different breed of stupid.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, they're stupid. And there's some... There's rural Americans.
Yeah.
I have some of those stupid traits, but you know what? It's okay.
There's Gene Short American dumbass people.
Yeah.
I'm wearing fucking Gene Shorts. It's a warm day. Leave me alone.
Yeah, well, anyways.
What'd y'all do this week?
Crack.
I believe Zach did some pretty cool shit. He should probably go first.
I worked 3 days and then took 2 days off.
Whoa.
Very nice.
Big ballin', huh?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you got approved.
I took the baby to go get spayed, so Goose's spayed.
No uterus.
Nope.
The baby ain't got a pussy no more. Why would you say that?
The baby is spayed. She was mad the first day, cuddly the second day, and then yesterday she was a crackhead. But today she's pretty much back to normal. She's just kind of...
That's good.
She vibing.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out when I should cut Faust off.
He's just a baby.
We got time.
He's beep.
The only thing I just want to avoid is him getting, you know, him being the cock of the walk trying to spray on my shit. Because, you know, Boots is in there too. I don't like when they spray. They're not supposed to. It's gross.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, obviously.
Just piss everywhere.
Yeah, just knock the fuck out of them. I actually got to watch some shit, which was cool.
Wow!
I watched Spiral from the Book of Saw.
Mid.
I gotta say, it's...
it's mid as fuck.
I don't even know if I'd call it mid. It's fucking... It's not that great.
It's okay.
I would say it's all right.
Yeah.
It's kind of disappointing to hear because of, like, the people who are a part of it.
I was disappointed to watch it.
Yeah.
But, like, watching it, I was like, man, like, Chris Rock is good.
Keep Jigsaw's name out your fucking mouth.
They just need to leave Saw alone for a while, you know?
I think it's done. I just think it should be done. For a while. Leave it the fuck alone.
Yeah. The premise is interesting. Like, the, you know, it hooks you in. Like, the first 10 minutes of the movie are really
literally
good.
Literally all not Jigsaw. Spiral was. It's like, remember all the police corruption shit from Saw? Did you hate that? Well, you're going to hate this movie.
Yeah.
Bailey, I think you spoiled the movie.
No.
Nah, there's a lot of shit in the movie.
You said Jigsaw, I mean Spiral.
No, I was Jigsaw the movie. You know, that was the one before this one.
Oh.
The prequel. We were talking about it in the car.
I know, but some people don't know.
It's a copycat. Like, yeah. The movie's been out long enough. It's a fucking copycat.
John Kramer is not in this movie, I'll say that.
Yeah, it's almost been out for a year, I think.
Two, almost. Did it come out in 2020?
It's supposed to come out 2020, but they delayed it because COVID, you know.
Some of the dialogue is poorly written, too.
Dude, that's a lot of forced.
Yeah, very forced dialogue.
That's an issue that I've been having so much with like a lot of movies that came out last year. I don't know what it is with movies that came out last year, but the dialogue is ass.
It's just hard to write dialogue, I guess. Like, even Chris Rock, like, some of Chris Rock's lines are just, they're just not that
like
great.
Halloween Kills dialogue fucking sucks. Like, can you guys write a script, please? Like, the 2018 script wasn't that bad, you know?
And, I mean, every scene with Laurie Strode, there's like, Laurie, you want some Jell-O? I know you're in the hospital. He came for me. Michael's come for me. It's like, oh, well, that's not what
he just
asked.
Wants to stare out his window.
That's not what we asked, Laurie. Do you want the fucking Jell-O or not?
Cherry or lime?
Yeah, fucking.
Answer the fucking question.
Lori, we're going to put you in a home, okay?
Speaking of Halloween, CinemaCon happened this past week, and the very few people that were there got to see the trailer for Halloween Kill or Ends.
Yeah.
They say it looks pretty ballin'.
They say
that. Yeah, but then there's like the reports where like Jamie Lee Curtis is like, oh, the fans are going to be pissed. And I'm like, what does that mean? You tell me it's going to
Because Lori Strode's going to fucking die.
Yeah,
I think people genuinely want that to happen, though.
I want it to fucking happen. Kill that bitch off.
I'm sure, you know.
She's had 40 fucking years to kill this motherfucker. Yeah.
Not only that, but she's also died twice in other universes, you know.
Just
timelines or whatever.
She faked her death only once. She's died once.
Well, no, because.
Resurrection. That's it. She faked her death in 4.
No, because. H2O.
The H2O retcons
is a sequel
4 and 5
to the original
first two. When does she die again? She dies in Resurrection.
In 4,
she dies at the beginning of 4.
In a car accident.
Yeah, she died off screen because she didn't want to return. Yeah, so they were like, "We're gonna kill her off then."
And for sure, H2O retcons
3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, well, 3.
Four,
because
4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, then it's only once.
Huh?
Then that would be twice.
Unless you're not counting unless you're saying there's 3 timelines, the 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Well,
the cult with the thorn.
Technically,
trilogy.
Her character's died twice. So she dies in a car accident.
At the beginning, Jamie's orphaned.
I'll allow it.
So she's dead in that timeline, and then in Resurrection, she gets killed in the beginning.
Yeah.
So technically 2.
So 3 with Ends, because let's be honest.
But I'm not going to argue it.
If they don't fucking do that, you know.
I'm in a good mood today.
I mean.
People are like, is Michael going to talk? Is that why they're saying that that's going to piss us
off? Dude, if he fucking talks, I will leave the fucking theater.
Chicken sandwich.
I'm not going to lie. I'll leave the fucking theater. Yeah. I'll straight up get up and walk out.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
I got to be honest. I'm not very hopeful for
this. I also don't like hearing about this fucking time jump shit.
Yeah. It's gonna be like a few. Michael's gonna be like 85 fucking years
old. Like it's fucking. Why does it need to be a fucking time jump?
That's how he's gonna talk. He's gonna like get out of bed and be like, "Oh my hip!"
He's like, "Why is it not all in the same fucking night?" Like, it's stupid.
Evil dies tonight.
5 years later.
They wasted the mob, dude. They wasted the mob.
I don't even think the mob should have existed. They were so fucking pointless.
I talked with Zach about this, like, when we just play random shit. Like, the mob is who should have killed Michael, to be honest.
Yeah.
They should have just saved the mob till Halloween ends, and then the mob just tears him limb from limb and burns his body and shit.
Yep.
Lori obviously dies trying.
Yeah.
Lori dies trying.
Nah,
you know?
Just make it like the end of Candyman. Like, make a big bonfire.
She essentially is like the martyr to the fucking crowd. The crowd's like, oh, he killed Laurie Strode.
It's like Spider-Man 2. They're careful. She's a hero.
Fucking Joey Diaz shows up.
You're going to have to go through me.
Listen, here, Mike. Let me tell you something, Michael Myers.
What's cocksucker.
What's Judy Greer's daughter's name in that? I can't remember.
Allison.
Yeah.
Allison should, like, kick his brains in or some shit, you know?
Allison's going to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Her mommy's dead.
I don't know. I'm not very hopeful. I'm just not very hopeful for Halloween Ends.
Well,
Fingers crossed.
You know what? Did you guys ever find out what the extended ending was for Halloween Kills?
Wasn't it just Lori
Michael picking up the phone and just breathing into it?
And then wasn't it like Lori leaving the hospital?
Yeah, it was that shot from the trailer of her being a badass and leaving the hospital. Because Michael picks the phone up and goes...
Yeah.
After he kills her.
And then Lori leaves the hospital. That's it. That's the extended ending. It's going to make so much more sense when you see the extended ending.
I mean, it kind of does, but...
But it doesn't. It does. What does it clear up?
That extra 2 seconds is really going to show Lori's vengeance.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
Oh, my God. She broke into the evidence room, stole the fucking knife, and left. Holy shit.
Oh, boy. But
what else? For sure, that's a fucking felony.
Yeah. Well, what's not a felony in this fucking franchise?
I watched cult classic horror shows. Sin Eater. That's a pretty decent movie. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, I never got into their podcast. I don't know what you guys loved about it so much, but I just cannot.
I just like their banter. I think it's funny.
I think they're very comedical. I think that's what allows me to like enjoy their stuff.
Danny always shits on Scotty, and then Rob never likes the movie or he didn't watch it. So that shit's always funny.
And then they bring Carmelo in.
I think Rob's just lazy.
Rob's fucking funny.
He is. You could tell sometimes, too, because like, you know, you've watched the movie that they're covering, and he's like talking shit about it, and you're like, but you didn't even fucking watch it. You could tell, you know?
Yeah.
Even without him admitting it, you know, you could just tell.
And that's funny because I think like Rob's gonna fucking absolutely hate this movie. He's like, no, I loved it. Like his shit is so funny.
Yeah,
that's fucked up. But
I like Carmelo too because Carmelo like genuinely, he's a really good, like good at starting conversations about shit. Like he's very passionate about movies. Yeah, so that's cool.
He directed Sin Eater.
He did. He wrote and directed.
Yeah,
Sin Eater.
And Bill Moseley has like a cameo in it.
He's in a couple flashback scenes with the main character.
He was probably their top billed person then.
No, actually, believe it or not, he wasn't.
Mm-mm.
Was it Danny Bowen?
Actually, it was the main character, the chick, and then Danny and Scotty.
I follow Danny on Instagram. I see his shit all the time. The girl on Facebook, I think, too.
The girl gets her like mouth wired shut and everything.
So it's like a cult demonic possession movie.
Well, didn't they say it was like based off of an Edgar Allan Poe story or something like
that? No, it's based off of the concept of what a sin eater is.
Okay.
Which there's an episode of their podcast where Carmelo goes over it and it's really cool. Yeah. But I enjoyed it. It was a pretty good movie. The twist ending is really interesting too.
Yeah, I was waiting for when that was going to come out because... I'm pretty sure it's supposed to come out in 2020, but because of COVID, they couldn't have it premiered and everything because they wanted to have like a big premiere like they did with She Walks the Woods.
Which that one's not bad either.
Yeah.
Sin Eater's a better movie, but...
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
She Walks the Woods isn't bad.
I haven't seen either of them. I'm going to come clean. Like, I like found footage when it's good, but I'm genuinely not that big a fan.
There's a documentary coming to Shudder about it. Yeah. I'm pretty excited about it. You guys know me by now. I mean, I like the more like deep dive academic side of movies, and that found footage doc looks pretty fucking interesting.
Oh, I'd probably have to check that out.
Yeah, it's coming later in the month. But is there only one episode left of Cursed Films coming out?
Yeah, Cannibal Holocaust. Yep.
I watched the Serpent and the Rainbow one.
Yeah, it's
the other day. Is that all you had, by the way?
I have, like, I've rewatched a couple things. Like,
I'll come back to it then talk about it.
I watched some of the DC animated stuff. Does any of their Batman movies are fucking solid?
Oh yeah,
like
I want to buy the ones that I like, Teen Titans versus Justice. That's probably my favorite out of these newer ones.
Like, dude, I'm gonna be on, like, a lot of the animated movies are honestly better than the live action ones.
Well, yeah, because they actually you have so much more freedom to do what you want to do because you can show their fucking super, but you don't need no fucking CGI.
Yeah.
You can just animate them doing what they do.
Yeah.
Yep, and it looks better.
It translates better to the screen that way.
But I watched Batman versus Robin, which that one's one of my favorites. I fucking love that movie.
Damian Wayne's a little fucking shit in that movie.
He's a little bitch.
Yeah. I understand, like, he has, like, his fans, you know.
Damian Wayne?
Damian Wayne's
one
of my...
Don't like Damian Wayne?
He's one of my least favorites.
You know? I think now he's a good Robin.
He's an interesting character. Yeah. You gotta think.
He's a murderer.
He's a date rape baby.
Not to murder.
He's date rape baby.
Pretty much, yeah.
Fucking Talia date rapes Batman. And you gotta think, like, this kid grew up raised by Talia al Ghul and fucking Ra's al Ghul to be, like, this ultimate killing machine. And then he meets Batman, which is, you know, Batman, no kill.
Yeah.
Damien's like, but kill. And then this is like, they
humanize.
Damian
Wayne's like a chihuahua foaming at the mouth.
Like, when they humanize Damian and, like, he you see, like, the more human side of him, like, that's what makes his character intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Like, and then he, well.
Like, the moments between him and Batman are always really interesting.
You keep up, you know, like, the Injustice lore and stuff? You know, like, a lot of people are dead and stuff?
Yep, Superman and sleeves.
You know Damian Wayne accidentally kills Nightwing in there? In
no,
the comics?
I didn't know
so
that.
So, I guess in that timeline, there's, like, they play around when they train. Damian will throw his staff at Nightwing, and Nightwing always deflects it or catches it. And he threw his staff at Nightwing, and he was so pissed off he wasn't paying attention. It broke the spinal column on his neck.
But they were fighting
this
time. Like, they were actually going head-to-head.
Yeah.
And he, kills Nightwing. And Batman's like, you killed my son! And then Batman's like, I don't have a son anymore. So he pretty much disowns Damian Wayne.
Straight up. And in Injustice 2, the game, that kind of, you fight Damian Wayne.
Yeah.
You beat the shit out of him.
He kind of becomes a new Nightwing.
Yeah.
Injustice. But, so I watched that. I watched the one I hadn't seen yet was Justice League War.
I own that. Haven't seen it. Simone gave me a digital code for it.
That one's not bad. That one's a pretty solid watch.
Wonder Woman, what is it? Wonder Woman Bloodlines, I think, is one I haven't seen yet either.
I don't think I've seen that either.
The latest animated Wonder Woman.
But that movie was generally pretty cool.
Justice League Dark, I need to check out too.
That's a really good one. That's really good. Jason O'Mara, I think is his name, who voices Batman in that. Mm. Like, next to Kevin Conroy, yeah. I think he's
they
like
sound
the best.
Very similar. I think.
I think he's the best voice for Batman.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's.
I will say this: that's like, I thought that Jason Inkles. Ackles?
Jensen
Ackles. Ackles, yeah, sorry. Supernatural guy. I thought he did pretty solid as Batman.
I haven't seen his performance.
I wouldn't
Batman
necessarily
yet.
Be mad if they brought him.
I need him to get signed up to play fucking Red Hood in live action.
Yeah, he voices Hood, him in Under the Red Hood.
But he has, he spent a lot of money. He has like a cosplay for it, and it's like legit, you know, everything's legit.
Under the Red Hood's probably my favorite DC animated movie.
I need to give that one a rewatch here soon.
That's probably my favorite.
I love the story of Under the Red Hood.
The only thing I don't like about it is the voice of the Joker, but other than that,
who does
it's
the
okay.
voice
though?
John DiMaggio.
Yeah. No. Hey, Batman!
But other than that, I think it's
buy my shiny metal
ass. Yeah,
he kind of does like the Bender voice. He's like, oh, I killed Robin.
There's some really good, like, Joker moments in that movie, though. There's some really good ones.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we have to kill the Riddler or the Penguin. Just kill this bastard.
Yeah. I mean, he makes a good point.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
The Riddler's like, what did I do? No! No! He's like, fuck you, I'm becoming Hush.
Red Hood's like, yeah, I'm Jason Todd. And Batman's like, oh, no. Anyway.
Yeah. Is that it?
That's it. That's pretty much all I watched.
Okay. I watched Creepshow, like the original.
Still haven't seen Creepshow.
The original movie.
It's a good one.
Got to be honest, one of my favorites.
Yeah?
It's
I know
fucking
Romero
great.
And Stephen King did it together.
Meteor shit.
Yeah, that was Stephen. That's honestly my favorite one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's good.
Stephen King becomes like a grass plant thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. The Crate, I mean.
The Crate,
also just fucking amazing.
Yep. That's probably like the best one in terms of like Tom Savini's effects.
That's the most, I think, memorable one of Creepshow. It's the one everybody.
See,
like
when I watched it the first time, like The Crate was my favorite, but every time I watch it now, because I've seen it like 3 or 4 times now. When I watch it now, it's definitely Jordy Vale, like the Stephen King one.
Mm. Yeah.
Father's Day is good. I think the only one that's kind of not that... I mean, like, I wouldn't say it's bad. It's the last one. They're creeping up on you, the one with the cockroaches and shit.
Yeah, that one's weird.
Like, it's all right. I think that the practical effects at the end where they just, like, come out of that guy is, like, really good.
Yeah, it is cool.
But the fucking E.G. Marshall, like, the old-ass man, he's, like, ruthless. He's, like, racist.
He's a fucking punk-ass.
You know?
He's a little bitch.
Yeah, he's like, you people are particularly good at service jobs or something. And then he goes,
so you can't, racist. And then he goes, say that.
And then he goes, people of color. And I was like, whoa.
Hey, yo.
But it's good. I like it a lot because, like, it was, like, the very first, you know, because, like, George A. Romero and Stephen King grew up on EC Comics, you know, and...
Do they still make those?
No.
No, they do not.
They were forced to
go out of business.
Well, I know you can buy a compendium of them, like the volumes of them.
Yeah, I'm sure you could still buy them, but they don't make, like, new issues anymore, which just kind of sucks. They were big.
Were they just horror comics, or do they do?
It was like horror mystery stuff.
It was like horror mystery crime.
But
yeah,
parents were like, I don't want my kids reading this.
The parents.
Meanwhile, they're beating their fucking wives and shit.
Yeah, the parents in the '50s, the good family image. We don't want horror comics to corrupt our kids. Yeah.
Meanwhile, these kids' dad's like, shut up, shit.
Yeah. Meanwhile, these kids went on to be John Carpenter, Wes Craven, George A. Romero, Stephen King, you know.
Yeah.
Some of the most influential, like, filmmakers of all time, or story writers or something like that. And they turned out just fine.
Yeah.
They're not out here killing people and shit like that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I watched that, and then I watched the Serpent and the Rainbow episode of Cursed Films. Probably the best one of the season so far.
I need to watch the movie.
Oh, it's good.
That episode was good, though.
They took it off Shudder.
Did they? Motherfuckers.
Yeah. I told you to watch them before the month.
I got busy. I haven't had time to watch much.
Watch it, bitch!
Dude, me and Zach have, like, switched fucking lives. Like, Zach never had time to watch shit when he was working security. Now I don't have time to watch shit because I'm fucking busy all the time.
I had more time to watch shit when I work security than I do now.
Oh, like, really?
I barely have time to watch anything now.
Yeah.
When I work security, I come home and just fucking watch shit, man. I was up to date on everything, and it was nice, but I can't do that anymore.
It's also like I got just so much fucking going on. I can't dedicate, you know, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours to fucking something when I got all the other shit to do.
It's unfortunate.
Adulting sucks, bro,
but...
But that was a good episode.
Yeah, the Serpent and the Rainbow episode was probably the best episode of this season so far.
Yeah, I liked... there was a fucking riot on that movie set.
Yeah. I'm intrigued with Cannibal Holocaust, even though I don't like that movie.
That episode's going to be fucked up.
Yeah. But you know that one's probably going to be worth watching.
Yeah.
Other than that, the only one that was worth watching for this season is the Wizard of Oz one.
Yeah. The Stalker episode was
That was okay, but, like, I don't really consider that movie to be cursed.
That was just an occupational fucking hazard.
Same thing with Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby was reaching. It's just so fucking hard.
Like, I'm sorry, but you guys knew Charles Manson.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't mean that it was cursed.
Right.
It's a good movie, though. Rosemary's Baby.
I refuse to watch it.
Fuck
Roman Polanski, bro.
Fuck Roman Polanski, but that's a damn good movie.
And I like how they didn't bring up, like, how much of a piece of shit he is. Yeah. They just didn't bring it up in that.
I do like the Serpent and the Rainbow episode. It, like, halfway through, it became, like, a love letter to Wes Craven, and I'm like...
Yeah.
Wasn't Roman Polanski with Shannon Tate?
It was his wife.
Yeah, it was his wife.
And, so other than that, I watched Joe Bob Briggs' season 4 premiere. He did two movies. He did Night of the Living Dead, which was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And he did what the fuck is this movie called? It's like, it's a cannibal, like it's an Italian cannibal movie where this dude like pulls a baby out of this chick's womb and eats it.
Oh.
It's really fucked up. It's called... Let me look it up real quick because it's on. They put the episode on Shudder.
Goddamn.
Anthropoid?
Anthropophagus.
Oh.
Anthropophagus or something
like
that.
Can I see the word? I'm good at pronouncing large words.
Ah, yes.
I read. Anthropophagus? I don't know.
Yeah, anthropophagous.
Anyway, like I've been wanting to get into Joe Bob. A lot of our podcasting colleagues watch it every week.
Yeah, I've watched some of his stuff, but I think I'm gonna tune in more.
So now. What is it? He just hosts like the show.
Yeah, he's a horror host.
He's got Darcy the Mail Girl.
Yep, she's hot.
I've seen her in person.
She's hot.
Yep. I like she's her. She's into wrestling.
Yep, I like her, and you know. They had Svengoolie on the Night of the Living Dead.
Fucking love Svengoolie.
Bro,
Svengoolie, bro. Do you guys ever watch him?
Yeah, I've seen some
on
of
Local
his
Access.
Stuff.
Yep. Yeah,
they have shirts of him on Fright Rags now, and I want to get a couple of them. But yeah, like, I want to meet him. He's cool.
Bring on Sammy Terry.
He's the person.
Sammy Terry, for those of you who don't know, was Indiana's
a local fucking. It's not the original. He's dead, but his son does.
Yeah, his son is the new Sammy.
Well, that's how Svengoolie. Like the first Svengoolie was a different person.
Oh yeah.
And now the one we know is like the one who's been doing it since 79.
Yeah, but the guy doing it now, he's the person that introduced me into the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
He did it was a summer when we were in eighth or ninth grade. And for 3 weeks in a row, he did all three Creature movies. And I was like, this shit's fucking popping.
Yeah.
Let me make this my whole personality.
But yeah, Joe Bob Briggs season 4 premiere was like a 5-hour long thing.
Oh, yeah, they're long episodes.
Last season, he had Jeffrey Combs on there.
He has, I think, the very first episode of The Last Drive-In. Because he did Monster Vision on TNT in the 90s.
Yeah.
So that's how most people got to know him.
Sorry, Krista saw a spider. She's cleaning the front door. There's a spider on it.
But when he came back, the first movie he did was Castle Freak, and he had Barbara Crampton on.
Really?
I love Castle Freak.
That's good. It's really good. Yeah. And I think he had John Fuller, who played the Castle Freak, on there, too.
Yeah.
Cool. Is that all you watched?
I'm looking forward, because like each week...
It's different.
Yeah, like it's a surprise too.
And people
it's
like
fun.
People love trying to guess because I think they drop hints and shit.
They do.
Yeah. So
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, maybe we can tune. I'll tune in next week. We can watch it together. And, we can get in like Discord, hop in a call, and talk.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, like they've uploaded some like old episodes of.
Yeah,
Monster
they're all
Vision.
On VOD. Well, not well. Joe Bob Briggs is drive-in.
Yeah,
last drive-in.
Well, I mean, they've uploaded some like old. Episodes of Monster Vision on YouTube. Watch them, and they had a bigger budget, so I would say like the Monster Vision's probably a little more interesting than Shudder, but I think that because they were on national television with Monster Vision, they couldn't say
do
as
much.
They couldn't do as much, so Shudder lets them get away with a lot of shit.
I feel like they have a lot more freedom with being with Shudder,
so a lot of people do probably prefer The Last Drive-In over the Monster Vision.
I've said it once, and there won't be a time I won't ever say it, dude. Shudder's a fucking just an amazing platform for horror creators.
The only thing that would make them better is if they made a PlayStation app.
Yeah. Listen, get on making a PlayStation app.
I need to buy another fucking Roku stick, man.
Yeah.
But yeah. Can't go wrong with Shudder.
But yeah, I watched Cat's Eye. That's another anthology. I've been on an anthology horror kick. That's why I picked Tales from the Dark Side.
Very nice.
Cat's Eye is like another Stephen King kind of anthology horror. It came out in like 85. It's got Drew Barrymore.
Really?
She plays like three different little girls in that.
Let me Google it.
But it's got all kinds of different acts. Like I think James Woods is in it.
James Woods.
Which he's kind of controversial because some actress accused him of preying on her when she was under 18 or something like
that.
Yeah,
I believe it.
Yeah, so... but it was pretty good. There was one of the stories on it's all like the thing that makes this an anthology, which is kind of curious, is it's all like a cat's perspective.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of funny because the cat's like, man, humans are fucked up.
Yeah.
But the last one's really cool because like the cat has to like fight a troll.
Yeah.
Really?
But the second story is like the one that I personally thought was the best because I have a fear of heights. And like this mob boss like makes this guy like walk around like the edge of like the skyscraper in order to like live and shit, and it was kind of fucking with me. But yeah, that's about all I watch though. So
what did I watch? Well, I told you guys I was going to rewatch X this weekend. I'm probably going to do that tonight because I listened to the Dead Meat podcast episode. And I missed a lot of shit, apparently, last time I watched it. Because I watched it during the day. You know that movie's fucking dark as shit.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm going
to
watch
dark.
It like pitch black so I can catch everything.
I'm kind of tired of people making movies so damn dark,
right?
Though, you know?
Yeah. But I'm going to give that a rewatch. So
I'm talking about the lighting, not the content.
Yeah,
those of you who are confused.
And then I watched Cursed Films, the Serpent and the Rainbow episode. What else did I watch? I don't think I watched. I've been rewatching Barry, that HBO.
Is that the
comedy.
What's his name? What the fuck is his name?
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, yeah.
Yeah, but it's Bill Hader and Henry Winkler and a bunch of other people. But it's fucking funny. It's hilarious. You guys should watch that if you can.
Yeah.
It's like five episodes a season. They're on season three right now, so I'm rewatching it to reconfigure myself with it. Jenna loves it, actually. I didn't think she'd get into it that much, but she liked it. We need to finish season two still, but we binged Euphoria in like a week. Dude, okay.
That show sucks.
Don't hate me. I got a little too invested into that show.
I hate that fucking show, man. I do not get the hype.
It's everything I stand against, but it's like watching a fucking train wreck. You can't look away.
It's so bad.
I also like Zendaya, so I mean.
I like Zendaya. I have no problem
also
with her.
Also, the chick that plays Cassie.
Isn't she like the... she's the shitty one, right? She's like the bitch of that show, right?
No, I think you're thinking about Maddie.
The
Hispanic girl?
No, I mean like the blonde chick.
Oh, yeah, Cassie.
Like a bitch. Yeah. She like sleeps with everybody's boyfriend
something
like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, I got a little too.
And they're
into
all
it.
On drugs and shit. Yeah. So
yeah,
crack.
Yeah, straight up. That's all I really been up to playing. I haven't really been playing Zelda either or reading. I started this new book called The Last Blade, The Blade Itself.
Wow.
It's a fantasy book. The tagline really got me. Like, you know, that people get authors to review their work and put it on the book. It was like, if Lord of the Rings was directed by Kurosawa. And I was like, take my money. I'm about three chapters into it. It's actually really good. It's a trilogy. It's book one of a trilogy. But I am enjoying it thoroughly. It's everything I've wanted in fantasy because they swear.
Yes.
It's quite bloody, actually. The first three chapters is nothing but this dude killing people with an axe.
Hell yeah.
But the way the main character's name is spelled really pisses me off. It's Logan, but with an E. L-O-G-E-N. Really just pisses me off.
I thought you were going to say like the E was at the end. I was like, what the fuck is the point of putting an E there?
No, it's L-O-G-E-N. And I'm like, ew.
Logan A.
No.
Logan A.
No.
No. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I need to. I bought batteries today for my Oculus because I... there's a sword fighting game. I'll bring it over here sometime when we hang out and we can play it, but it's fun. I have Beat Saber too. I've been playing the shit out of that.
Boom, boom.
That game is fun.
Boom,
boom. Dude, I'm telling you what, you guys would enjoy that thoroughly.
Yeah.
I'm gonna buy the Lady Gaga music pack. Brandon's going to be in here fucking.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like one of the only pop stars I guess I can stand.
Yeah.
Everybody else fucking sucks.
Fair. I learned something the other day about her and her Netflix documentary. She goes topless.
Who?
Lady Gaga.
You see her boobs in A Star Is Born.
I've never seen A Star Is Born.
It's like a glimpse. It's like a real small glimpse.
But no, in that documentary, you get full in sunlight. She sits there and she's talking.
Yeah.
She tans nude, I guess. But
Sense.
If you all are into that, I mean Netflix.
I just remember being in like middle school and everybody like they made up.
Bro, Lady Gaga's got a dick.
Yeah,
dude.
I was like, where the fuck did that come from? You know.
Yeah.
It was elementary school too, by the way.
And I remember in like an interview, she like tried to troll people by saying, "Yeah, I got one."
Yep.
And then she was like, "Why do you care what's in my pants? Yeah. Why are y'all so obsessed?
Why y'all give a fuck?"
Yeah, straight up.
But yeah,
that's all I got.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Tales from the Dark Side.
So I guess this was a TV show in the 80s?
Yeah.
Yep. From 84 to 88. So I think it ran
I've never seen four seasons.
I haven't either. I've never even heard of the show.
Well, it was.
Well, I guess it's like Tales from the Crypt from what I gather.
It's It's like Tales from the Crypt, but it doesn't have like a host, you know?
There's no Crypt Keeper?
No.
Gotcha.
So it was like a lot of the people from the cast and crew of Creepshow.
Oh, really?
So like George A. Romero, Stephen King, Tom Savini,
really?
John Harrison, who directed this movie. He's actually mostly known... John Harrison's mostly known for doing the scores of movies like Day of the Dead, Creepshow, and I think the Tales from the Dark Side TV show. I don't know about the movie. I didn't see who did the music.
The I really liked they got some heavy hitters for this who wrote the stories. We got Stephen King, we got George A. Romero, and I forget the other guy.
Michael McDowell, who directed and wrote and directed Beetlejuice, I believe.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. I think that's his name. Let me make sure.
I think George Romero's the cat, right? He wrote the cat story?
He did the screenplay for the cat, but the cat, all three of these are adapted from Stephen King short stories, I believe.
But yes, the mummy one, actually, I read the first vignette, I really liked a lot.
The first and third one, I think, are my favorite.
Third one was good.
Yeah. They're all good.
I was not as focused on the third one because I was cooking breakfast this morning and watching it because I had started the movie. I started it last night, and before I knew it, I wasn't able to hold my eyes open. So
they had some decent actors.
Yeah. This is Steve Buscemi's first fucking appearance on our podcast, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good.
He's a dickhead, and I love it.
Yeah. Smart ass. Like,
yeah. Michael McDowell. Yeah. So he directed... Let me make sure real quick. I'm pretty sure he had something to do with Beetlejuice.
Beetle dick.
Yeah. Yep, he did the screenplay for Beetlejuice.
That's pretty cool.
So this movie's framed. Why am I doing this? This is your episode.
This is my episode.
Take it away.
Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. I'm just used to it. I'm a host. Leave me alone.
I want to start by saying I chose this movie because I wanted to do Creepshow, but I was like, Creepshow has three sequels. Two sequels. We should hold off
on
that.
Aren't the sequels ass?
Second one's not bad. It's not great. It's not bad.
Forget Creepshow. We're gonna do Tales from the Hood.
I mean, I wouldn't mind.
I actually love Tales from the Hood a lot.
I heard that its sequels suck though.
Yeah, they do.
Because like, they recast
the funeral director.
Yeah, with Keith David, which doesn't sound bad, but in the third one it's Tony Todd, which also doesn't sound bad.
Yeah.
But I heard that it's just it sucks.
Yeah.
You know, but that first movie is a fucking banger though.
Straight up.
But yeah, I chose this movie cuz I wanted to do Creepshow and I was like, well, it's got sequels, so I don't want to have to rope those in right away cuz we kind of wanted to do like standalone picks and shit. And so what's actually kind of interesting about this movie is fans actually consider Tales from the Dark Side, the movie, to be the actual Creepshow 3.
Huh.
Because it's got a lot of the same people who worked on those first two movies, and, you know, there's a, you know, like those people who worked on the first two Creepshow movies did the Tales from the Dark Side TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't know if y'all heard, but like, there's like this independent film company that managed to buy the rights of like the first two Creepshow movies from George A. Romero, and they did the third one. For the longest time, I thought that the third one was a made-for-TV movie. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. It was actually distributed by HBO.
It's just shitty fucking quality.
It is a terrible movie, from what I heard.
Garbage.
Like, a lot of people say Exorcist 2. Is like the worst horror movie of all time.
Yeah.
But the people who have actually seen Creepshow 3 say that it might be the worst because...
Oh, shit.
The reason why I say the people who have seen it is because it's not as like available as Exorcist 2, so not as many people have seen it.
Yeah.
It's like very hard to come across. Like, you can't even find like a old DVD or VHS because it came out 2006. Almost 20 years after the second movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is Tales from the Dark Side. The movie's 1990. So, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, we kind of open up with this lady, you know, getting groceries, driving through, like, the town.
Debbie Harry, by the way, of
Debbie
Blondie.
Harry, you know, Blondie, yeah.
Jenna freaked the fuck out last night when she saw that. She's like, wait, what?
She's 76, still looks good.
Is she?
Yeah.
I saw a picture of her recently. She looks banging.
Yeah. Hello, nurse.
Call me. Anyways, yeah, she's the witch of this movie, and you could tell she's a witch because as soon as she walks into her kitchen, you see her broomstick.
She got a fucking kid in the house.
Well, yeah, and she has a kid locked up.
Kid's fucking locked up.
She's like, did you like your cookies? And there's all the, did you like your book?
He throws the Tales from the Dark Side book, which if that's like an actual thing, I want that.
Let me Google it. Keep talking. I got you.
So this kid is like, I want the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I have a dinner party. And she's like, I need to get you in the fucking oven pretty soon. I
need to get you in the oven by like 1:30.
Yeah. And she's and the kid's like, well, wait. You said this is your favorite book.
Bitch, let me tell you a story.
Because like she said it's her favorite book. Like her dad used to read it to her and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, well, let me read you a story to, you know, persuade her not to cook them right away. And she pulls out like this comically large, like fucking... like a baking sheet for yeah. the kid, you know? She talks about how she's going to, like...
Eviscerate him. He's like, what's that?
Gut him, basically, you know?
Yeah.
She pulls out, like, these large-ass sewing needles and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyways, we go into the first story, which is called Lot 249. And so right away we get, you know, really recognizable actors. Mostly Steve Buscemi.
Christian yeah. Slater.
But yeah, we get Christian Slater and Julianne Moore as
Listen,
well.
Listen, I'm not, you know, I'm comfortable with my sexuality. Christian Slater as a young man was fucking beautiful.
But
my sister had a huge crush on Christian Slater when he was young.
But yeah, we get Steve Buscemi, Christian Slater, and Julianne Moore. I think that's her name.
Hell yeah.
Is that Julianne Moore?
I think
it
so.
Is Julianne
no
Moore.
Fucking way, dude. I had no idea.
It's his sister who plays, I can't remember her name. Go back to the cast here if I can fucking get there. Yeah, Julianne Moore.
I can't find the book prop.
It's probably just a prop then that they use for the movie.
We could probably get it made for you.
Yeah. So her name is Susan. That's her character's name. Susan. And then Christian Slater is Andy, and Steve Buscemi is Edward Bellingham, and then their friend is Lee, which I don't think he's a very recognizable actor.
I don't think so. He doesn't look familiar.
Yeah, like, it opens up with Lee and Andy walking up to Andy's dorm, and they go inside. Like, they're talking about how Lee won this, like, scholarship prize because of, like, some paper he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that Andy's sister Susan wrote it for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they're walking into, like, this dorm building where Andy lives, and we see Steve Buscemi. And he's like, oh, you know, right away he's kind of cocky with Lee because he's like, I know you didn't fucking write that paper.
Yeah.
You're too stupid to write that paper.
I think Bellingham also applied for the same scholarship.
Yeah, yeah. And they also mentioned how there was like a Zuni artifact that was stolen from the museum and that Bellingham was accused for. And he's like, I'm not even into Zuni artifacts, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so... they go into Bellingham's, like, dorm, and there's, like, a fucking whole-ass sarcophagus there.
Yes.
And so they open it up, and Lee's like, oh, my God, I have to go do dinner. You know? They're cutting, like, the bandages off with scissors and shit.
Yeah. Like, reveal the mummy underneath.
And so we see, like, Lee and Julianne Moore at their house, and Lee's like, he's definitely on to you. He definitely knows that you probably...
You stole that shit.
You stole that shit. And
straight
He probably knows that you wrote my paper, too. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so Julianne Moore is like, well, I'm going to go over to his house and give him a hard-on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And plant the artifact in his apartment, you know? Yeah. And so anyways, Andy and Bellingham, they're cutting open the mummy. And there's, like, a scroll in there. But there's also, like, spices and onions and flowers and shit.
Yeah, they stuffed him full of all that shit.
Yeah. But there's a scroll in there, and Andy's like, can you read it? He's like, no, I have no fucking idea how to read this shit. And so some time jumps, and Steve Buscemi knows how to read that shit.
Yeah.
And the mummy is resurrected, and he goes and kills Lee. He shoves a clothes hanger right up his fucking nose and pulls his brain out.
Yeah.
And so Julianne Moore comes over to the dorm. And I'm trying to rush through this because these are short stories.
Yeah.
I'm also trying to be kind of like informational about it.
Mm-hmm.
Julianne Moore comes over to Bellingham's apartment and plants the artifact. And so, yeah. And then she goes back. And then that's when they find out that Lee dies. And mm-hmm. Lee's been murdered.
Murdered.
And so, yeah, the police come. And then, like, Julianne Moore tells Andy. She's like, yeah, I saw who fucking did it.
Mm.
It was a filthy-ass guy who smells like rotting flowers. And then immediately Andy's like, the fucking mummy? You know?
Yeah.
And so then we see the police are in Bellingham's house because they Julianne Moore probably told on him.
Yeah.
She's planting the artifact there. And so the college is like, you're being evicted, you know?
See ya.
And we're also, like, you know, kicking you out of the school.
Yeah.
And so basically what happens is the mummy's not there. Like, they open up the sarcophagus and the mummy's not there. And, well, because the mummy is on the prowl for Julianne Moore now.
Yep.
So the mummy goes there. Julianne Moore throws a pot of flowers at him, and he catches it and breaks that shit. But he takes the flowers, and he opens her up and stuffs them inside mm-hmm. of her.
So she, like, stabs him with a pair of scissors.
It does nothing.
Yeah. And he takes it and cuts her open and starts stuffing her. I was like, oh, shit.
Yep. And so Andy finds her. And so Andy goes to, like, Bellingham. And, like, ties him up and, like, knocks him out. Like, he turns the power off and tricks him and knocks him out and then ties him up. And he's like, I'm going to light you on fire. That's how Christian Slater talks.
Yeah.
And so Bellingham, like, resurrects the mummy again. But the mummy, he has, like,
the mummy gets his ass kicked.
Yeah, like, Christian Slater has, like, a turkey carver, like, one of those electric ones. Mm-hmm. And he
just in case the power goes out, he says.
Yeah, he cuts up the mummy and burns him.
Yep.
And he asks Steve Buscemi for the scroll.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Buscemi gives him the scroll so he doesn't get caught on fire, and he promises to leave and everything. But, ooh, here's a surprise twist. He gave him the wrong scroll.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
He burned the wrong shit.
Yeah, and so Steve Buscemi resurrects Lee and Julianne Moore, and they kill Andy, basically.
Yeah.
And so then we go back to Debbie Harry and the little kid in the fucking cellar or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, she's like, oh, we should really get started.
Yeah.
And he's the, kid's like, the kid's like, wait, I have a really scary one. I had to, like, stop reading, like, twice.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's called, like, The Black Cat, I believe that's what it's called, which is kind of funny because there's, like, three movies called The Black Cat.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, a Lucio Fulci one. There's, like, an old school one with Vincent Price. And, yeah. Anyways.
This cat ain't no joke.
This one's, like, very...
Real shit.
Yeah, this one's, like, very simple. So there's, like, this old guy played by William Hickey who's probably mostly known for voicing the mad scientist from Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah.
Nightmare Before Christmas. He's also in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
He plays, like, the uncle.
You might not know him based off of his looks, but his voice.
Yeah, definitely his voice.
Mm. Yeah. So we meet him. He's, like, the head of this pharmaceutical company called Drogon Pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
And basically, he hires a hitman to kill a fucking cat.
Yep.
And
would you kill that fucking cat?
The hitman's like, what the fuck do you want me to kill a cat for? He's giving him $100,000.
You guys ever seen that video of the guy who's like, wait, what the fuck is that? Is that a fucking cat?
Look at this fucking cat.
Well, I like the scene where they show you the cat. Like, William Hickey goes, your target is right behind you. And he turns around and it's just an innocent looking black cat.
Yeah.
BB.
Yeah.
Just goose.
Yep. It's BB.
But we find out that this fucking cat has murdered William Hickey's, like, entire fucking family. Well, not his family, his sister, their butler, and his sister's friend.
Yeah. You know?
By taking their breath away.
No. One, his sister, the cat fucking trips down the stairs.
Yeah.
The old girl, she fucking, the cat suffocates fucking suffocates.
Her. Yeah.
And then the other one, like, the butler's going to take him to the fucking pound, and he escapes the basket and causes the butler to have a fucking car crash.
Which, that butler is Hector Salamanca from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He's also Ace Ventura's landlord in the first Ace Ventura.
Yep, that's right. And he's the Joker's dad in Gotham, the TV show.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it's his dad or something.
That's
like
something
that.
Like that, yeah.
I haven't really seen that show. I've just seen, like, bits and pieces of it. Mm. Anyways, Drogon basically says, this cat is like a cat assassin because I experimented and killed like thousands of cats with my pharmaceutical drugs and shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And so like the fucking hitman, even though he's like kind of like weirded out by the fact that he has to kill a cat, he's like, for $100,000, I guess I'll kill a cat, you know?
Yeah.
Oh boy, it ain't gonna be that easy.
And no. So like Drogon, he's about to like leave because, you know, he's like, why the fuck would I stay here and get killed by this cat?
He's like, yeah, I'm not staying.
So Drogon leaves and he's like, oh, there's all kinds of alcohol and food. There's cheap alcohol and no fucking food.
Yeah.
You know, that was funny, like when he opens up the fucking fridge and there's like an egg in there.
Yeah.
May I offer you an egg in this trying time?
Yeah. But, you know, like the hitman's got all kinds of shit. He's got blades, he's got like
gun.
Yeah, he's got a gun. He's got like this wire that you use to like choke people
the
with.
Wire.
Shit.
Yeah.
And girl.
Hey, yo.
So, yeah, the cat keeps on coming up and lowballing him, yeah. You know, and he's like, every time he gets more and more pissed, and then he sees that he's, like, bleeding all over his, like,
$100
show.
Dude, that cat fucks his crotch up.
Yeah, I was going to say, he fucking rips his crotch out, dude. That shit's funny.
And he gets pissed, and he's like, I'm going to use my good gun, which has, like, a laser pointer and shit.
Yeah. You
know? Here, kitty, kitty.
And he's, like, getting drunk and shit as it goes. And, yeah, he's getting increasingly more pissed.
He's getting bodied by this cat, dude.
Yeah.
This cat will play.
Which I don't remember this guy's name, but he's like a musician, apparently. He was in, I think he was in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
He looks familiar.
And, but, yeah, so he's like chilling, waiting on this fucking cat to come so he can shoot him in the head. And he puts like a bowl of food out and like there's a TV playing. And the cat comes up to eat, and he has the laser pointer right on his fucking head, and then he takes a shot, and it shoots the TV out. It doesn't even hit the cat.
He's
so
like, what?
I think the cat might be a little supernatural or something.
Well, obviously, the cat can't die.
Yeah. And so
he's like, I had him dead to rights.
And so it just keeps getting more fucked up until eventually, like, the fucking cat just hops up in his mouth, basically.
Straight up.
Yeah,
and travels inside of him and stays in there. And then William Hickey comes in the next morning and is like, oh my God.
And then you see him come back out the mouth.
Yeah, he like comes out the mouth. It sprays like blood everywhere.
And
William Hickey's like, oh no. And then William Hickey just has a heart attack and dies, basically.
Yeah. The cat's just sitting there on his lap cleaning himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Which I gotta be honest, even though that one's like the most simple in terms of like plot, I think it might be my favorite.
It's really a good one
because it's kind of funny.
Yeah,
that's also the one that George A. Romero did like the screenplay for too. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this next one is what most people who know this movie, this is like the one that most people consider the best one, and yeah. I can understand why. You know,
it's pretty good.
I don't remember the actual name of like the story. But it's about gargoyles.
Yes.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
A Lover's Vow is what the okay. story's called.
Yeah. So we meet Preston, played by James Remar, and I actually read something interesting about him. He was originally cast as Hicks in Aliens.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And I don't know if it was like he had to leave or if he got fired from the role.
Yeah.
But they got Michael Biehn, which probably, you know, even though I don't think this guy's bad, that was probably for the best, you know?
You know what he's also in? He's in the second Mortal Kombat movie. He plays Raiden.
Yep.
And he's in Dexter.
Yep.
He plays Dexter's adopted dad.
He's in a lot of shit, you know? They got a lot of character actors for a lot of these, like, anthology horror movies. Oh, she is bald on her stomach.
We're talking about Zach's cat. She got spayed.
Yeah, little
bald kitty. But yeah, we meet Preston. He's like a struggling artist. He like builds like these sculptures out of like wood and shit.
Yeah. This story's so fucked up.
And it so he goes to meet his agent at a bar, and his agent's like dumping him.
We need some more work.
We need.
He's like, yeah, that lady won't show your shit at her fucking showings anymore because they don't sell.
Yeah.
And Preston tries to convince him to like not. Go and everything. Mm-hmm. He's like, He's like, I can't live off of nothing. And his agent's like, I can't live off of 10% of nothing.
Yeah. Right.
Which is true. That's fair.
You know, and so, yeah, he gets drunk at that bar. There's like this drunk there, and there's like the bartender. He gets drunk with them, and then they go to leave.
He meets a lady.
No.
But wait.
He goes to the bar.
They go to leave, and he starts pissing on this wall while the bartender's locking it up. They leave like the drunk guy in there. He's like, I'll let him out in the morning.
Yeah.
You know?
Smart.
And,
which is kind of sad. That means that dude's a regular.
Yeah. And then so we see this beast pull up.
He pulls up.
And he fucking cuts his fucking hand off, and then it rips some of his face off, and then he just decapitates him. It was fucking awesome. By the way,
it was fucking awesome. K&B effect.
This is K&B, so yeah, this is like 1 year into their thing, and they're doing shit like this already. Yeah,
it looks awesome. Because
they formed in 89.
Mm-hmm.
Or 88. So this is like 1 or 2 years into their thing, and they're still a thing today. So
The boys.
Yeah, Greg Nicotero, Howard Berger, Robert Kurtzman.
Yeah, it looked awesome. Especially the decapitation looked
Kurtzman,
really cool.
Kurtzman, Nicotero, and Berger.
Yeah. Yeah, the decapitation was nuts because you just saw like the fucking pieces like, you know? And so we see it's like this fucking gargoyle bat thing.
Yeah.
And he's got James Remar cornered, and is all like, I'll give you an ultimatum. I'll let you live if you don't tell anybody you've seen me, ever, you know? He's like, okay, and slices him up before he goes, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so James Remar is, like, freaking out, walking down, like, probably, like, New York City before they cleaned it up and shit, you know? And so he sees this girl and he snatches her up, and which is kind of fucking bad because she probably thinks she's gonna get raped or something, and she's like, I'm trying to call a taxi so I can get the fuck up out of here. I'm lost, you know. And he's like, well, it's really fucking dangerous down here. We'll just go to my apartment so you can call it in from my house and shit.
Yeah.
And they go to the apartment. And he calls the police probably to talk about what he, you know, saw. But then he's like, oh, I shouldn't do that. And he tells her that the line is busy.
Yeah.
He didn't even fucking call the taxi place.
Yeah.
And so he, like, goes to the bathroom to, like, clean up his wound and shit. And she's, like, there. And basically they hook up, okay?
Yeah, they get it on.
Yeah, they hook up, they get it on. And the next morning he's like, I'm going to go out, and he goes and sees, like, the police down there, you know, clean, like, at the crime scene, you know.
Yeah.
And so he comes back, and the girl's gone, and he's like, fuck, you know. He probably wanted to hit it again, you know.
Yep. Oh, yep.
And, yep. But she comes back later, and she comes with, like, a whole bag, and she says, oh, you know, my roommate's boyfriend came back. So it probably means her roommate's boyfriend's a dick and kicked her out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, you can stay with me. That ain't no problem.
And it is in fact a problem.
And so what happens is she has like some friend who has like a showing thing for Hart. And basically we skip forward to there and we see that one of his things sells for $23,000.
Yep.
Which is fucking hilarious because a lot of his shit looks like shit.
Yeah, it looks like garbage.
It literally looks like something he found out of a dumpster. And we see, like, the drunk guy in the bar come up, and he's like, I know you know something. James Remar's like, look, I told the fucking police everything. You're drunk.
Shit.
And so then it skips forward 10 years. They have kids. And James Remar is like, oh, you know. But it skips forward 10 years, and it's like Halloween.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the kids are trick-or-treating. They're, like, dressed up as pirates and shit.
Yep.
We see he got his old agent back, so they're doing great.
Yep, he's doing very well financially.
And so basically he decides, oh, you know what's a fucking good idea? Let me tell my wife about the fucking night we met. Let me tell her what actually happened.
Yeah, let me tell, like, 10 years later, let me tell her about this fucking gargoyle.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. So
he made some kind of acrylic statue of, like, the gargoyle, and he pulls it out and shows it to her. He's like, this is the thing that killed the bartender, and he's like, this is what I saw the night that I met you. And she, like, processes it, and then she turns around, and she, like, screams, you promised not to tell, and then she has a gargoyle transformation,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
and it's fucking nuts. Which, when I first saw this, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know that she was going to turn into a gargoyle.
Yeah.
You know? I thought that the gargoyle was, like, going to break in there and beat the shit out of him or something.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't think it was going to be her.
Nah.
You know? And
even the fucking kids
turn into gargoyles. They're, like, cute-looking gargoyles. Ooh, they're, like,
little snot-nosed fucking gargoyles.
Yep. And so they kill James Remar and fly off into the night sky.
Yeah.
Dude, the transformation itself is so fucking cool.
Oh, yeah. It's,
like, her skin falling off, and it's all slimy and gooey, and it's...
Rips her face off,
and, like, the wings... My favorite part is when the wings came out of her back.
The wings just...
Yeah.
Out of
that
there.
Shit was cool.
She, like, pulls her scalp off, and, like, to reveal the head and everything.
Yeah.
And, like, the arms, like, come out of her wrists and shit. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Real gooey, real nasty. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, like, very underrated creature here. Nobody talks about this.
No.
You know?
No.
So, yeah, that happened.
That's some cool shit.
That happened. So, basically, the story there ends, and we go back to the witch and the kid. And the witch is like, well, that was a good love story, you know? And basically what happens is... the kid makes up his own story, and he's like, the witch didn't see where the kid fucking threw the marbles on the floor, and she would slip and fall, and she lands on the sewing needles, and then the keys fall, and so the kid grabs the keys and unlocks his chains so that he could push Debbie Harry into the oven.
That bitch dead.
So the witch gets killed instead of the kid. Yeah. So a happy ending. He's like, don't you just love happy endings?
Ta-da!
And so, yeah, like, that's pretty much Tales from the Dark Side, the movie from 1990.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Really enjoyed it.
Straight up?
Yeah. So. And by the way, I should also mention, like, John Harrison, Greg Nicotero, they're all doing the Creepshow TV show right now.
Yeah.
So they're responsible for mostly Greg Nicotero. Because he did, like, The Walking Dead and shit. Well, he's, like, one of the big mainstays of The Walking Dead, which I know a lot of people shit on that show.
Yeah.
For reasonable reasons, you know. I think it's gone on. They're actually doing their last season this year.
In two parts.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't care.
I mean, like, the thing
Not
is...
Not fun!
The thing is, like, Greg Nicotero's cool, and I'm happy to see him, like, do cool shit, you know. And the fact that he made, like, one of the most popular television series of all time of, like, this generation. And, you know.
Yeah.
He's one of the best makeup effects artists. Like, I don't like Walking Dead. But if it makes Greg Nicotero money, I'm not going
to
be mad. Yeah. You know?
So. All right. What are we rating this bad boy?
Solid 9.5 out of 10.
Nine.
Nah. Yeah. I think it's a 9. I like Creepshow and Trick or Treat better, but I think this is up there with them, you know? When it comes to, like, the big hitters of anthology horror, you have Creepshow, Trick or Treat, VHS 1 and 2, Tales from the Crypt.
There's 4 VHS movies?
I know, but the first two are the ones that most people like.
Yeah.
And then you have the Tales from the Crypt TV show. Those are, like, the holy grail of anthology horror. And Creepshow is personally my favorite. Trick or Treat's probably second. And then I would have to say it's Tales from the Dark Side. So, yeah, I'd give it, like, a 9.5. Trick or Treat and Creepshow get a 10, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, that it?
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoyed this episode. We came from beneath the sea. We will be back next week with...
Peter Benchley's Creature.
Yeah, that's going to be a long one. A long watch.
Long watch, but
do your homework.
Normal size episode.
Yeah.
You can find it on YouTube.
Yeah. Both Brandon. Parts are on there for free.
Yeah. Brandon found it on there.
Yep. But that'll do it for this episode. You know, stay safe, stay spooky, and be kind to one another. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Sayonara. See ya.